Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. And that part right there, rest for your soul. Given how things are nowadays, I mean, who wouldn't want a little bit of rest for their weary soul? I can actually tell you, based on a number of recent polls and surveys, the answer to that question is actually just a little less than 80%. On average, if you average out all the different polls, about 75 to 80% of Americans say they're tired and wearied and worn out. They're tired of the constant 24-hour nonstop propaganda that tries to pass itself off as news or journalism. They're tired of elitist, out-of-touch, wealthy politicians and athletes and celebrities all lecturing them about their quote-unquote privilege, constantly telling them how they should feel and what they should be angry about or what they should feel ashamed about. You know, just shut up already, man. And you look around, everything is so racist nowadays, right? Everything is homophobic and transphobic and xenophobic. Everywhere you turn, someone or some group is so offended. It's just all so exhausting. Think of the world we live in right now. All the anger that we harbor against our own brothers and sisters. All the anger we harbor against people just because they vote differently than we do. And all that anger has a way of sucking the life right out of you. It's so exhausting. You know, and then inflation, you know, rainbow flags, political scandals, different rules for wealthy politicians than for, you know, ordinary folks. How about you? I know I'm tired of it all. The problem, though, is that it's everywhere all the time. And, man, it just wears you down and sucks the life right out of you. And none of what I've said here is taking into consideration that weariness, that exhaustion that results from just good old-fashioned worry. I know that Jesus says we shouldn't worry about tomorrow because sufficient for the current day is its own trouble. But that's just it. I mean, you look around at the world we live in, God knows we've got more than enough to worry about today. No wonder we're all so tired and worn out. So I don't know what planet the other 20% of those polled are living on, but I know that I and 80% of the rest of worn-out, wearied America, man, we'd love to find a little bit of rest for the soul. And then you look at the gospel lesson. Maybe we look at the broader context of the gospel lesson recorded for us today, and you quickly discover that, oh man, there's really nothing new under the sun, is there? See, chapter 11, we pick up at verse 25 today, but if you look at the very beginning of chapter 11, all of chapter 11 is showing us that Jesus is addressing large groups of people who are all struggling in their faith. They're down, they're despairing, they're worrying, and they're worn out and frazzled. The very beginning of chapter 11 reveals to us that even mighty John the Baptist, who had been languishing in Herod's dungeon, even mighty John the Baptist was wearied and worn out with worry and despair. He's wondering if Jesus was really the Messiah or not, right? You know, are you the one who's to come, or shall we be looking for another? And the crowds all around Jesus, they were basically asking the same thing too. I mean, after all, they were all wearied and worn out too. They were all struggling under the ever-crushing weight of Roman oppression, Roman occupation. They were all worn out. They were running ragged by trying to measure up to the unattainable, burdensome spiritual demands that had been laid upon them by their own religious leaders. And then you got sickness, poverty, heavy taxation from both the Romans as well as their own religious leaders. But you add all this up, the folks were just beaten down and miserable. So, I mean, hey, you think you have it bad? Just making it through a day in first century Judea was truly exhausting. And it's in the midst of all this worry and despair and exhaustion, what physical, mental, and spiritual exhaustion, it's in the midst of all this that Jesus began to teach the people again, right? Teaching them again about his grace, his mercy, his mission. And I stress the again part because, well, thank God Jesus never got tired of teaching the same thing again and again and again. And listen to what he teaches, right? A bruised reed he'll never break. A smoldering wick he will never extinguish. He reminds them his kingdom is not of this fallen and sinful world. And right here, this is where Christ's invitation, or even we could say his command, to come to him and to yoke onto him. This is where it all enters into the conversation. Ask yourself, listen to the words of Christ. Who does Jesus invite to come to him and be yoked to him? Well, the answer, everyone, right? All who are laboring and toiling, all who are heavy laden and burdened down by the crosses of life, all those who are in need of rest and peace and comfort. Now, it should come as no surprise that relaxation and peace, this is all big business nowadays. For every person out there who's wearied and tired and worn out, there are at least three other people trying to sell them a product, trying to sell them a surefire method that'll guarantee peace and relaxation, you know, rest for their wearied soul. I think we're surrounded by it, right? Yoga, meditation, diet, exercise, travel, seclusion, even religion. Books a Million is filled with aisles and aisles of books that all guarantee you will find peace for your soul if you buy their book. YouTube, Facebook, TikTok, it's all filled with quote-unquote experts who are more than willing to teach you their secret to finding peace. And they offer up themselves as living proof, right? You too can be like me. Just hit that subscribe button. So yeah, somebody's always going to be there to sell you something. Somebody's always going to be there to try and teach you how to find peace for your wearied soul. And that how-to part should cue you in on something here. But is that what Jesus is doing here? You know, is Jesus offering up just another how-to in a world that's filled with how-tos? In a word, no. In fact, the original Greek makes this abundantly clear. See, Jesus isn't giving us a method or a product. Jesus is giving us himself. He says, take my yoke upon you. Learn from me that I am gentle and lowly in heart. And then and there you will find rest for your souls. Now, you may not have picked up on that little difference between what I said and what's printed in the bulletin, because it's very subtle. It's easily overlooked, it's easily ignored or downplayed and missed, but it's very important. I want you to listen again. Learn from me that I am gentle and lowly in heart. See, in the original Greek, Jesus isn't commanding us to simply learn from him because he's gentle or for I'm gentle and lowly in heart, as if Jesus has the secret to peace and, you know, he's the poster boy example of peace. No, we are to learn the lesson that he is gentle. We are to learn that he is gentle and compassionate and merciful and lowly in heart. It's here, yoked to true gentleness and compassion, yoked to the mercy and love of God that was made flesh. It's here in Christ and in Christ alone that those who are burdened and tired and beat down, here is where they will find rest and peace, a peace that surpasses all understanding. You see, that's the beautiful paradox in these words. It's a paradox that so many self-proclaimed wise Christians so often miss. Being yoked to Christ isn't a bad thing. Yoked to Christ, that's where you find peace. Not toil, not burden, not work. And I say this only because so many people hear these words of being yoked and they automatically think in terms of a team of draft animals, right? Working and toiling together, each pulling their share of the load, which doesn't sound very peaceful at all, if you ask me. I mean, after all, how can I ever be at peace or how can I ever know peace if I know that I'm responsible for working even just a little bit of my sin? You know, I have to do my share. How can I ever know peace if that's the case? have I done enough? Have I done my share? How can I be sure I've done my share? Is there more I can do? Is there more that I need to do? You know, you listen to St. Paul in the epistle lesson for today. The good I want to do, I don't do, and the evil I don't want to do, I keep doing. Guys, that doesn't sound like a man at peace, does it? But see, that's not what Jesus means here when he says that we are to take his yoke upon ourselves. That's not what he means at all. Just think about it. How are you saved and redeemed? Is it because of anything that you've done to work or earn your forgiveness? Is it because of anything you've done, right? Do you have to toil and labor and do your share in order to get your little slice of heaven? Does your salvation consist of Christ does his share and now you need to do your share? No, not at all. We're saved because of God's grace alone, right? Grace, which is ours only because of the all redemptive work of Christ alone. In terms of salvation, then, it really is easy, isn't it? And just like Christ says, it's easy. We're yoked. We're yoked to Christ through faith alone. I mean, how much easier can that get? That's truly a light load to bear. There are no prerequisites. There are no quid pro quo agreements. You know, you do your part and then I'll do mine. None of that. It's easy. Salvation is actually so easy that even a small child can understand. And I'd say it's so easy a small child can do it and actually does do it better than any of us who've been jaded by the real world. Trust in God, right? Trust in God above all things. Trust, that is, have faith in the fact that Christ has done it all. It's all finished in him and because of him. It's because of his incomprehensible love for you that he took your justly deserved cross and he took your yoke of sin and he put it solely upon his shoulders. He suffered the just and righteous wrath of his Father for you in your place, also that you could be yoked to him in life and peace. It's a life and peace that surpasses all understanding. It's a life and peace that is not of this world. Guys, do you recognize the peace that's already yours by virtue of your baptism? It's true. By virtue of your baptism into his death and resurrection, you belong to him. And nothing and no one can ever steal that away from you. Now you think about it. All of God's authority, as in all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, all of God's authority, which subjects all things to him, which puts all things under his feet, all of that divine authority is wrapped up in his holy baptism and his word. Trust in that word and promise. Trust in the promise of your baptism, because it's here in these blessed waters that our Lord has yoked you to him. Here is where your Lord has yoked you to a peace that surpasses all understanding. I mean, guys, trust in the fact that he is with you always, even when it feels like you're being crushed under the crosses and burdens of life in this fallen and sinful world. Because it's precisely here, under the burdens, under the loads, under the aches and pains and crosses of this life, it's here that we find Christ's word and promise to be absolutely true. I am with you always, to the very end of the age. And you know what? That's how we'll end for today. Not with some false instruction, you know, that Jesus is the poster boy example and you need to learn from him and emulate him in order to find peace in your life too. We're not going to do that. No, we're going to end with the true gospel wisdom and grace that assures you that your God and Lord is gentle and compassionate and meek and mild to you in spite of all your sinful failures. How often we need to be reminded of this. You know, I'll tell you what, if sin is ruling over you, or maybe when sin is ruling over you, go to him who rules over your sin. If and when you're feeling the crushing weight of sin and despair and worry, if and when you're feeling wearied and worn out and just plain exhausted, remember that you have already been yoked to him. Folks, here is your peace. His peace is your peace. He is your peace. He is rest for your wearied soul. So may Almighty God himself bless you with the simple, faithful wisdom of the child, so that when you do feel the crosses and burdens and heavy-laden labors of life bearing down on you, may he bless you with the simple, humble wisdom of the child, so that you would hold fast in faith to the all-redeeming cross and yoke of Christ that you've already been yoked to through the waters of baptism. As I point you right here, the altar, the pulpit, the font, here is rest and peace for your soul. Here is rest and peace that surpasses understanding. Here is rest and peace for today, for tomorrow, and for all your remaining days, and for all the rest of eternity. Amen.